Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Wait till you hear this story about what happened at Vanderbilt as protesters called 911. But why do they call 911? You will never believe this. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. It is the Grand Hotel Happy Hour, brought to you by our great friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. My happy place. Make your reservation today and always book direct with them for the best rates by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. And mark your calendar. We'll be there for our first live show of the year on Friday, May 3rd. And I expect a very strong showing of the Zeoli Army for our first live show of the year. The book is called Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. I can't wait to read it. It's available for pre-order. He's Dr. Wilfred Riley, Professor of Political Science at Kentucky State University. What's up there, Professor? Welcome back.
Glad to be back on the show. Not much is going on right now.
Not much? Kind of quiet?
Yeah, well, this is our, it's the week after our spring break, and our students have been kind of trickling back. So we've had some pretty slow classes. I'm done for the day. This is the last thing I'm doing in my office. Then I'm going to, you know, head home, have a beer, relax.
Have a beer. Is that Wilfred Riley's drink of choice, a beer? And what kind of beer?
Well, it really depends. I mean, you know, Corona, Budweiser. Like, I'm a simple man. But okay. I've recently gotten to some of the more the hipster craft brews. Kentucky actually is a great drinking state. So my other drink of choice would be Kentucky bourbon.
I was going to say, I mean, you're in bourbon country. Come on.
Yeah, and all the distilleries, like if you ever come down here, Castle and Key, Ghost Lake, Pappy Van Winkle, I mean, these are in a 10-mile Buffalo Trace. They're within a 10-mile radius of Frankfort. So, you know, a thing that couples will do on weekends or people do with their buddies is go around to four or five of them and, you know, sample that year's vintage or whatever. So it's the liquor stores here are pretty impressive if drinking's your thing.
Well, Buffalo Trace is my go-to. Pappy Van Winkle, I can't afford. Nobody really can. You also can't find it. Every now and then, the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board will do an auction for some bottles of Pappy. But I had a shot of it once, and somebody else paid for it. And I thought it was good. But doesn't Buffalo Trace, isn't that made by the same group that makes Pappy Van Winkle or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like when I was living in Chicago, there was a restaurant called Alinea that would serve things like burgers wrapped in gold leaf and fresh king prawns from Java and this kind of stuff. And dinner would be $300 or $400. And I mean, my reaction the one time I went there was that the food was very good, but I don't know if it's, you know, $400 good as versus any place else. And that's probably true at a higher level with Pappy. You do see Pappy and the other fine bourbons in bars here, though. I mean, if you go to downtown Frankfort, and, you know, you go to one of the many drinking establishments there, the top of the bar is pretty nice looking.
Yeah, well, you know, what you just said reminds me of something. So, you know, there's a restaurant in Philadelphia called Barclay Prime, and they have $140 cheesesteak. And let me read this to you, this description to you. I mean, it sounds great, again, if somebody else is paying. So it's hand-cut Wagyu beef, which is all the rage, of course. It is black truffle, foie gras, fried onions, Cooper Sharp on a freshly baked sesame roll, served with a half a bottle of champagne. It's $140. Would you pay $140 for a cheesesteak?
I mean, I would pay $140, you know, if I was proposing to a girl from Philly or something. I mean, like, the whole point of stuff like that is that you'd buy it for a Japanese client, or you'd, on a date, you know, demonstrate you weren't a poor man once or something. I mean, I don't think there's anyone who's just eating lunch with their buddy who's going to look at the menu and see, oh, $140 cheesesteak, that's the move to make. The thing with something like that is that it would be a cool memory to do it once, share it with somebody. I mean, you get a bottle of decent bubbly, but I don't really think that tastes that much better than the average cheesesteak. Like, I'd probably prefer my cheesesteak without foie gras on it.
Right. That's exactly what I would say. I don't eat foie gras on my cheesesteak. Come on.
Foie gras is goose liver paste. That actually sounds kind of disgusting, just personally.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, but not on a cheesesteak. I mean, what the heck, you know?
Yes.
All right, let's turn our attention to this story here. This is, we have the audio of this. This is at Vanderbilt. And the headline is this: unhinged Vanderbilt protesters called 911. The reason why they called 911 here, they were protesting Israel. They were doing a sit-in protest against Israel, and they fell into a state of panic over logistical mishaps. They ended up peeing in plastic bottles and calling 911, and they rushed into Kirkland Hall, which is an administrative building on the Vanderbilt campus that was closed for construction, pushing past the community service officer. They remained there for about 21 and a half hours, protesting the administration's decision to halt a vote from the student government in favor of the boycott, and they wanted to boycott against Israel. So here's the audio of the protest as the students were panicking. Take a listen.
Toxic shock.
Yeah, there's currently a female student who's being denied the right to change her tampon that has been in for multiple hours, which leads to an increased risk of toxic shock syndrome. So while you're saying...
I'm a female, I understand.
Right, so then you should understand... Okay, what you are not hearing, is that if she stands up to use the restroom to change her tampon, they are threatening arrest. So it is not an option for her.
Ma'am, you have an emergency.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
That is an emergency.
Do you have an emergency? Not your friend that's inside. Do you have an emergency?
That is my emergency.
I don't remember the time that I needed to have an emergency personally to call 911 for help.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't remember a time when it has to be a personal emergency for me to call 911 for help. I am requesting assistance, medical urgent assistance.
What I'm telling you. Okay, so you're telling me your friend in Kirkland needs an ambulance.
She needs...
Is that what you're telling me?
That's just part of it. I mean, it goes on, Wilfred Riley, Dr. Riley, but it goes on. And I love that 911 operator who's like, are you freaking kidding me right now? That's basically her reaction.
Yeah, I mean, the entire story is pretty ridiculous. I mean, the people were posting jokes about this on Twitter. Like, someone did Tennyson's old poem, The Charge of the Light Brigade, which is, for those that don't know, it's this British regiment. Their commander gave them the wrong orders. And so instead of, you know, going and skirmishing with a bunch of Russian soldiers, they charged, like, the Russian cannons, the artillery, and they were almost all killed. And it's considered, like, this great moment of bravery. Like, theirs was not to reason why. Theirs one moment to pray to the sky, then theirs, but just to do or die. And people are presenting that in the context of, man, we used to, you know, fight wars. This was, yeah, the kids were, they were, like, boycotting something, and they were in the administrative buildings on the campus, and they were told that if they left a certain space of rooms, they'd be arrested and they'd be charged with a Class D misdemeanor, which carries with it a fine of like $50. And they were apparently unable to handle that level of stress. I mean, people were like urinating and defecating in buckets, and this one woman, again, she'd had her tampon in for 6 hours. I don't offhand know what the average is.
Right.
But she had, she was afraid that she had toxic shock trauma, by the way, would occur like if that was in for 3 or 4 days during which you were sexually active. I mean, like, I don't want to get gross about this, but she decided she was going to die and she might need some kind of medical care. Security personnel were called. Cops from a separate department were called. I mean, it's just kind of a commentary on how butter soft a lot of Americans really are. I mean, yeah. In that you make this commitment, you're going to protest. You're going to, like, people used to do this when I was in college. People used to do this in the 60s, to occupy the dean's office. But they were unable to do it for more than 21 hours because they felt they needed to be provided with toilets. They couldn't pee in a bush or whatever, or do shifts walking down the hall. They decided that normal medical care, being denied for a day, could kill them. I don't know. It's a funny story. There's not much to say about it. It is worth noting for the listeners that these are kind of our opponents. Like, if you're on the right or the center right and people are making these threats, like, there's going to be a violent revolution, like, these are the people that would be in the other side's army. So, I mean, you do need to think about that. I mean, what's the male-female breakdown there? I mean, how many actual veterans and athletes do we have on that team? You know, or can you, you know, change everything in the field? I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, it's this is not exactly the group that's storming Normandy. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is definitely not that group. But your point about people being soft in this generation, I mean, it really is. And then, of course, the sense of entitlement, you know, like, we're entitled to protest and you're entitled to come and take care of us and give us everything that we need and demand. And we are not going to comply with the law. You have to come serve us. And I think ultimately they wound up bringing them food and other things. It reminded me of when I was in high school, the students did a walkout to protest. There was a thing with the teachers union and they couldn't agree on a contract. And so all the students bravely walked out of school in protest and sat in the bleachers, and they wound up, you know, getting pizza for everybody, and it became basically like a day outside. Like these acts of courage and heroism here displayed, it's so ludicrous. But they think they're entitled to all these things, and that's really what it comes down to. It's like, I'm not making any sacrifices. My cause is just, but I'm not sacrificing anything. You still need to come and give me all the things that I need.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, so I was talking with a female friend online, and there's going to be a point to this, but she said, you know, I don't mind playing a traditional role in relationships, but a lot of men today seem to want all the benefits of marriage, and she went to some detail, without getting married. And you see this pattern across society, the idea that because you are you are a wonderful, amazing creature, people should just give you things. So in this case, what people want is kind of the benefits of martyrdom without being martyred. So we've always admired people that have kind of bucked up and gone to fight the system and, you know, run that risk of getting arrested and getting thrown in jail. That's kind of what you do as a revolutionary. Like Martin Luther King went to jail. He was an upper middle class preacher's son. He legitimately did violate the law. I mean, you can't have a crowd in the middle of the bridge chanting for a day. They grabbed him, they threw him in jail. And he wrote his letter from a Birmingham jail. So that's kind of the risk you take if you take over the administration building at your college and you're chasing out pleasant old secretaries and so on. So the idea that you should be able to do that, but that you should not run any risk of getting arrested or getting mocked or getting hit by the police or anything like that, that I think is a new idea. And you see this a lot. Like, this is the whole thing behind what Earth Justice or whatever, where they go into museums and they throw tomato soup on famous old masters and so on. Yeah, I mean, the way to handle that would just be to take one of them and sentence them and throw them in, you know, real booty house prison for 10 years. And then other people could decide whether they want to make that choice of potential martyrdom themselves. But what we seem to be doing right now is giving people sort of all the flowers of heroism without any heroism being required. And when there's a small amount required, like you've got to, you know, suffer some stomach cramps for 8 hours, people should prove totally impossible or totally incapable of it. Like, hunger strikes end in a day.
Right. My long day of not eating for 8 hours. What? How did I survive it? That's
well,
usually
like that
just called intermittent fasting.
Remember sitting on the steps of the Capitol, Suarez? Sorry, it all bust in there. But this guy was doing a 12-hour hunger strike, which is just a fast at the gym. But he had like two young female staffers like wiping him down with cloths, and there were people there filming this guy, and he was giving speeches that Cesar Chavez had given before. I mean, it's the extreme overemphasis on this crap and the absence of any real challenges in like American upper middle class life.
Dr. Wilfred Riley is with me. The book is Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me, and it'll be coming out very, very soon, we hope, and we're excited for it. You probably saw that clip of The View with Sonny Hostin, and the guy who was on there, whose name escapes me at the moment because I'm having one of those days, and she was not liking the fact that he was presenting the idea of colorblindness. Coleman Hughes, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't like that idea. And again, you know, it goes against, he's also arguing that against this notion of systemic racism, and she didn't like that idea either.
Yeah, I mean, like the activist left doesn't like much of anything except, you know, free money and lengthy listening sessions. I mean, the View is unwatchable.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. But like, we actually apparently have used it to torture insurgents in other countries. Like, I'm not actually kidding about this. Like,
stop.
I taught a class on radicalism as a political science prop, and one of the ways you can just short of torture people, it's allowed in all countries under the Geneva Convention, is just to show them the most obnoxious, aggravating media possible, like play 1980s hair band music at peak volume while people are trying to sleep. And The View is apparently a popular tool used in those sessions. And
wow.
I can imagine being some captured Arab warrior, like listening to Joy Behar for 81 hours straight and then just being like, okay, I'll talk.
Yeah.
But
give me the waterboarding. Please give me the waterboarding.
I was prepared to be beaten, but not this. God, not this. But I mean, there is an element of this. Like, I'm sure, you know, our soldiers and their soldiers, you know, will keep you awake if you've been caught and so on. So you haven't slept for 3 days and you're listening to Baby Shark for the 10,000th time. I mean, that's got to actually be emotionally pretty, pretty effective. But
My 4-year-old daughter plays Baby Shark. I hear it once, and I want to be waterboarded. So yeah, no, that would definitely break a man. No question about it.
I mean, I would rather take a beating once, probably not waterboarding, than be sitting in a cell that's like 7x10, listening to screaming media in a foreign language all day while people shine lights in my eyes. So, I mean, torture is an interesting concept. But the thing with Coleman Hughes, I'm friends with Coleman Hughes. I thought he did very well. And again, I think that a lot of the things that are being discussed in the comeback to the fourth wave feminists, the kind of comeback to the critical race theory guys, for that matter, the comeback on the center right to the alt right, a lot of this stuff is just the most obvious common sense. Like, I'll sometimes, when I take a break from statistical models and I write my column for National Review and so on, I think it's pretty good, but I feel almost silly saying some of this stuff, like, no, you can't change your sex, kid. And what Coleman said was basically that, like what we got to in the 1990s, which was the idea that race doesn't matter all that much. And when you look at another man or another citizen, better to say, the first thing you see isn't their race. It's not their ethnicity. You don't see a black person or an Irishman or a Mexican. You see a guy, an American, a human. That was the, by that up until that point, that was considered the best possible approach to race relations, that everyone was willing to put aside their own tribal nature, which we do have, and say, well, I welcome you as a brother, as Christians and Muslims have in the past. And this has somehow become repainted as racist in this weird framework where the thing you're supposed to do, although this is rarely said, is value minorities more than white people. And Coleman's just saying, well, that's not possible. I mean, like, that verges into reverse racism, and we've seen race relations get a lot worse, so we should just bring back colorblindness. And that led to, you know, a good conversation at the end, but like 2 or 3 minutes of them attacking him for like working for billionaires or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's funny, in National Review, they've reposted your piece of that you wrote back in February in defense of colorblindness, where you bring up in that piece back then, and you talk about The Virtue of Colorblindness by Andre Archie, I guess you were reviewing this, sure, and The End of Race Politics, Arguments for Colorblind America by Coleman Hughes. So they reposted that at National Review. But what I said yesterday when I heard the clip was, anyone, you know, yourself, Coleman Hughes, out there arguing against this notion of systemic racism, the problem they have with it is they do really want to change America. And the only way they can change America is if they prove to everyone, particularly our kids, that America is this place that's built on systemic racism. And people cannot get ahead because of that system. And if you want to dismantle a system, capitalism, because really that's what this is all about, in my opinion, to bring about a socialist or Marxist change, you can't have anyone disagree with that, because then it destroys the foundation of their argument that you can't get ahead in this country because America is systemically racist.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So first of all, the fanatic, this is, and I was going to use this as my own line, but it's actually big Winston Churchill's, the fanatic will always claim that doomsday is coming. Because if you just say something like, well, there's a bit of a problem, like the black crime rate's twice the white crime rate and both are increasing, man, we should pay for some cops. If you just outline issues and the white guy and black guy nod together and you solve the problem, there's no need for dramatic revolution. So if you look at most of the left, and for that matter, the fringe on the right, what they're doing is saying things like, the West has fallen, we can't survive this, you know, and so we need my post-apocalyptic philosophy. Now, the problem with this is if an apocalypse does come, there are going to be 8 or 9 groups fighting to see who survives. Like, your preferred philosophy probably won't make it out of the ruck. So that's a bad thing to wish for. But that's what all fanatics say. And we see this a whole lot on the left today. It's been pretty effective because people don't like to think of themselves as morally bad people. The problem is that it's just obvious nonsense, I guess. Like, I've been polite to this in the past, including on this show, but it's just stupid BS. I mean, like, you're expected to completely suspend disbelief in the way you do with religion because it's rude to mock someone else's faith. So, like, you can watch something like Coleman, who, like I said, is a casual buddy of mine. He's an Ivy League graduate, probably edging into the low 7 figures right now. He's on national TV. He's a black guy. And the panel that's interviewing him is a black woman, a Puerto Rican woman, a light-skinned black woman, and 2 white people, but they're also women. And what they're talking about is the oppression of minorities and women. And if you were just objectively to look at that, you would say, well, this is absolutely crazy. That doesn't make any sense at all. And that is correct, but you're not supposed to say that. I think more people are starting to disregard that social rule.
Dr. Wilfred Riley, there was another story I wanted to talk to you about, and that is the silencing of the detransitioners. These are the people that had gone down the road of really, I mean, you know, mutilating their body in the name of trying to change, you know, I'm using air quotes here, their gender, and then they regretted it, and they wanted to detransition, and there is an effort out there to silence them, and you wrote a piece about this recently, because again, the argument is, You can't be wrong here. There's no other option other than to proceed with the surgery. It can't be anything else. It's got to just be that. And so for somebody to come back and say years later, actually, it wasn't that at all. It was something else. I was depressed, or I was, you know, I was doing this for attention or whatever. That destroys, again, this narrative that society needs to not only just embrace this, but push for it, pay for it, and make it so, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, again, as kind of a traveling right-wing writer, I've met a lot of these people. Like, I'd say I'm pretty good friends at the have-a-drink level with, like, Luca Hine or Preisha. I mean, so I've talked to some of the detransitioners at kind of detrans post-feminist events, they're really brave people, actually. Like, these are people who, as kids, like as 16-year-old girls, were taken in by these weirdo doctors who often had very close personal relationships with them, and were told things like, you're a boy, I can see it when I look at you, and you should remove your breasts. You should get what's called a top surgery, which is a voluntary double mastectomy. So that, to me, is very close to grooming children, if not over that line. But, yeah, the argument for what's called gender-affirming care by the ops, but the argument is that if you don't do it, the kid's going to die, basically. You'll hear these terrible pitches like, do you want a live daughter or a dead son? And the claim there is that every kid who wants these procedures knows that they have gender dysphoria. They know the level of gender dysphoria they have. They know it's not curable, and they're going to kill themselves if you don't treat them. And we're now seeing from the new Swedish, British, French, and Chinese studies that that's just complete BS. I mean, so the detransitioners, I'm rambling here a little bit, but they're a product of that. Like, most of these people turn out to, in fact, be kind of abused kids, like girls who've been molested or who've been in relationships with guys who were more advanced than them sexually or too into pornography or something like that, wanted to do what they considered weird negative things. They often were. Or they're boys who are going to be gay who really don't want to be. And there often are other psychological issues there as well. Like something like 40% of these kids, if you read Christina Button's work, are autistic. So you take these damaged kids that tend to think in these very clear autistic categories, and you tell them, well, the only option is this surgery, and if you don't do it, there's a considerable risk to you, and you tell the parents this as well. And yeah, what we're seeing now is that some substantial percentage, I mean, the highest estimate I've seen is 27%, of these kids have already decided that they weren't trans, like after they got the breast removals and so on. For those that are interested in this, there's a forum on Reddit. It's called r/dtrans. Just r/dtrans that has 55,000 of these people, and they're just talking about these experiences with these crazy doctors and so on. And I really think that might be like my next book. Just what are these people's stories? Do you interview them? How the hell did this happen?
I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a divorce attorney, and he was telling me that this is now a thing that's coming up in divorce issues where, and he said he had this recently, he's had three of these, where the child wants to, you know, one of the parents wants to have the kid go with the surgery and the other parent doesn't, and the judge has to decide, and you know, my buddy's there making the point to the judge, exactly what you just said, you know, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes because the child could regret it someday, or the child could kill themselves if they don't get the surgery. And I said to him last night, I said, but that's not, I mean, that statistically is not true. He said, I know that, but that's what is being alleged, you know, and so I have to make that point because the judge, you know, doesn't want to have that on their conscience. But I said, but, you know, we have to push back on that notion that the kid's going to kill themselves if they don't go down this road, because that is what really becomes the excuse to start doing this. And there are a lot of people getting rich off this and pushing this lie. And there's a lot of money attached to this. I mean, what I read somewhere is like $500 billion or something like this in the gender reassignment surgery category. That's not even counting the drugs that are not even approved for this, you know, the puberty blockers and whatnot. I mean, that's a lot of cash. And there are people out there who don't want you to get in the way of them making that money.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Like, I love America and all that. But, I mean, if you've ever gotten, like, a broken foot fixed in England or something, it's not as well done quite, but it's a much simpler, much cheaper process. One reason that we have such a huge number of people on these psych meds, like every second male's on Adderall, which is just speed. Read the side of the bottle, it says amphetamine. One of the reasons for this kind of thing, Wellbutrin, they're drugs that half the country takes. Is simply that in the USA, there's a for-profit business that makes double the cost of the drug if they assign you the drug, which outside of a doctor's office would be referred to as drug dealing. A lot of great docs out there, but that is something that's in the mix. And then there are a lot of fields where there aren't a lot of great docs, and gender reassignment surgery and plastic surgery in general tends to be one of those. So, yeah, I mean, if you go to GoFundMe, you'll see dozens of pages. Like, I'm raising funds for my top surgery. You know, amount needed, $78,000. And even beyond that, something a lot of people don't know, I think, but once you take these drugs, and a lot of other things, like once you go past a certain level with testosterone replacement therapy, for example, as a man, I thought about it. But once you get into a lot of these medical cycles, you're not getting off.
Right.
Like, especially for the trans kids, quote unquote, like, I mean, this is a family show, but if you do what's called a neo-vagina as a male, you have to take a tool called a dilator and painfully open that for 10 minutes a day for kind of the rest of your life, because that's not a natural thing. So you've created a lifetime patient.
Hmm. Wow.
That's as wild as it sounds, by the way. Like, that's a real thing.
Yeah, no, it sounds like just a lot of work, quite frankly. Always a pleasure. I'm glad you're back. When is the book? Any updates on the publication date?
Yeah, the publication date has been set for a while. The full date when not just the ebook's going to be out, but hard copy books are going to be in stores is June the 11th, which is the last date. It's been stable online for a month now. Yeah,
good.
So we're gonna have that out there in really a couple months from now. I'm gonna start doing major media for the book in like early May. So it's the end of March right now. It's coming up soon.
All right, so we got to get a date on the calendar to have you in town so we can grab a beer together or a bourbon together and have everybody meet you and get a copy of your book. So let's make it happen.
Yeah, I'll probably bring some Kentucky bourbon out there, educate the East Coast a little bit.
Whenever I talk to Congressman Tom Massey, he always says, if it's not from Kentucky, it's not bourbon, all right? So stop it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like beef from Texas. I mean, like, if you travel, I did during sales, and I do now as a speaker. And if you travel around the country, like, there really are things that each state is still good at. I mean, the states are as big as countries. And I think that's something that I had to be reminded of 10 years past that job. And that's something a lot of Euros still don't really get.
Dr. Wilfred Riley, Lies My Liberal Teacher Told Me. Pre-order it today. Thanks, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Have a good one.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rizzioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
All right, so last week we had these really big downpours. And we were lucky because Garden State Earthworks had solved our water problems for good. Now, here's the advice I want to give you right now. If you have water problems, they will not get better on their own. You need the experts. And there's only one choice, and that's GardenStateEarthworks.com. Because here's the deal. Lou Vargo, my buddy, he will drain that water away, guaranteed. Our backyard was like a pool back there of just water standing for days. And that's not good. That causes mosquitoes and problems to your hardscaping. It can get into your basement. It can destroy your swimming pool. If you have any of these problems, reach out to Garden State Earthworks today. 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. Or go to GardenStateEarthworks.com. Don't trust a landscape company to solve your drainage issues. Call the specialist. That's GardenStateEarthworks.com. I first used them years ago with our old house, and they fixed our basement was wet. And Lou said, you'll never have another drop of water in this basement again. Guaranteed. And we never did. And he's a man of his word. And they came here a couple weeks ago, and they drained our water away. The system they set up makes it so that our backyard is dry. And it's spring, and more rain is on the way. They're very busy because they're the best at what they do. But if you tell them I sent you, they will make you a priority. So call them today. 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. Or GardenStateEarthworks.com. They drain the water away, guaranteed. Once and for all, solved. GardenStateEarthworks.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
It's opening day. Also, good Friday. Hope you and your family have a blessed Easter. I will be off next week. You'll be in the capable hands of Mike Opelka, stunt brain. Kids are off from school for spring break, so we're going on a little family trip, and I'm excited. Former president and future president, knock on wood, Donald Trump, went to the funeral of the officer who was gunned down. And, of course, now the left is angry about that, that he was there. And the cops love that he was there. They appreciate the fact that he was there. He wasn't doing it for political reasons. He was doing it because he genuinely wanted to be there. And it was, it was smart politics, but I know that that's not why he went. He went because he wanted to genuinely be there for the family of Jonathan Diller. He talked to Brian Kilmeade this morning, and, you know, he made a great point about the fact that the base of the Democrat Party hates police. I mean, you know, they do. They hate cops. This is the defund the police crowd. This is what Trump said to Kilmeade this morning, cut number 5.
And as the grandson and the...
I think that politically he can't support the police. I think he's also making a mistake. But I think politically his base won't let him support the police. And I support the police, I would say, at the highest level of any president by far, maybe double or triple. And they knew that. That's why when I walked into that funeral parlor, it was like love. They want to shy away from it. They didn't even call the family.
Yes, it's true. And then, of course, the media bashes him for going, saying that he's exploiting it. This is former Congressman Joe Crowley. It's pathetic. You know what, man? The family was thrilled. They were so happy the president was there. And he also paid for the funeral, too, by the way, for the family. Cut number 4.
And as the grandson and the son of New York City police officers, my dad served for 22 years on the NYPD, was a detective. The notion or idea that Donald Trump cares at all for this officer or this officer's family is outrageous. He has not an ounce of sympathy in his body. It is hypocritical. I think people look at it as hypocritical that he's using this grieving family for political purposes, for a political rally. It's outrageous. Where was that same empathy for the families of police officers and others who passed away as a result of the 1-6 attack?
No police officers did.
He doesn't care about anyone.
Let's stop it. No police officers died after January 6th. It's a lie. That's another lie the left tells. But look, you know what? Whether or not there's an old saying about things, you know, whether or not you do it because you're doing it because you want to look good, or you're doing it for, you're doing it, and you judge somebody based on the actions that they're doing. So, I mean, you could have all these reasons in your head about the fact that why Trump went, but he still went, you know, and that's the thing. He went. Biden didn't go. Biden was too busy in New York with ex-presidents and celebrities tying up traffic. So, you know, I mean, you could be angry about the fact of you don't trust that his motivations were pure, but whether or not somebody does something because it makes them feel good or not, like, you know, you volunteer on the weekend at a soup kitchen or not, you're still doing it. So, still doing it. All right. Now, I wanted to talk about this because there's this piece about the FBI and this guy, this FBI agent who says that his basically he goes around harassing people on Facebook posts. And this is a story from Reason.com. And the woman here in this one particular instance doesn't know which Facebook post caught the FBI agent's attention, and that it was the first time that he had heard, or the person, he had heard of Facebook's parent company, Meta, preemptively reporting posts to law enforcement. And the FBI is not commenting on anything. But this is the thing. I mean, you have the government now looking over people's posts on social media, and it's a thing that is very troubling. I want to share with you a clip of David Sacks. David Sacks makes an excellent point about why you should not want to see this TikTok ban go forward. He's the co-founder of PayPal, and he talks about the wider effects of this. And it's a little bit of a longer cut, but it's really worth it. And I've been saying this, and I said this with Tulsi Gabbard earlier in the week. The goal here for them is to shut down Elon Musk, and the goal is to shut down Truth Social, Trump's company. That's their goal. And Jake Auchincloss, who's a Democrat congressman, he said the quiet part out loud. He said the first thing you got to do is get TikTok based on U.S. soil. Then you can regulate it, and then you can regulate all these companies. That's what they want to do. And we're falling for this as we have a government now profiling us on social media, knocking on people's doors based on the things that they're writing on social media, not explicit threats to anybody, not like saying I'm going to blow up that or I'm going to kill that person or no. Just they think what you're saying could lead you to be a domestic violent extremist or something like that. So we're going to give these people more power to regulate our social media content. Cut number six.
Okay, well, let me first describe what the bill does, because I've read it very carefully. And even proponents of the bill have acknowledged that I understand it. So it's not just a TikTok ban. Yes, it would target TikTok and ByteDance and force ByteDance to divest ownership of TikTok within 6 months, or the app would be banned completely. So it does that. But in addition to that, it bans or prohibits any of what they call foreign adversary controlled applications, or it's called a FACA for short, from operating in the United States. And a FACA, again, a foreign adversary controlled application, is not just an app, and it's not just a foreign owned company. It can be any American owned website or application that is in the, let's call it, content sharing space that has 1 million monthly active users. So it applies to all of those. So every social network certainly would be covered under this. And when you look under the language, which is buried in the definitions of what it means to be controlled by a foreign adversary, it says that you're subject to the direction or control of basically a person in a foreign adversary or a group of investors. You're subject to the direction of a person in one of these foreign adversary countries. So this is where my alarm bells start going off, is what does subject to the direction of mean? Now, I know that proponents of the bill say this is well understood legal language, like look at securities laws precedents. They define it. It's actually a narrow definition. I'm like, oh, really? Well, did Fani Willis care about the definition of RICO when she brought her lawsuit? Did Alvin Bragg care about the definition of misdemeanor and statute of limitations when he brought his 43 felonies? Did I could go on. I mean, did Jack Smith care about hundreds of law years of fraud precedent when he invented his novel crime? No, of course not. We live in an age of weaponization. And any ambiguity or discretion that you create in these laws will absolutely be used by a future creative attorney general. Just like the Patriot Act was weaponized against the American people, this will be too. It's pretty obvious, I think, to see where this leads. Would a future attorney general, maybe in a second Biden administration, somebody tougher, someone who Biden likes better than Merrick Garland, maybe Jack Smith, could he say that Elon is subject to the direction of the Chinese Communist Party because he has a factory in Shanghai and therefore they have leverage over him and therefore he must divest ownership of Twitter? Why couldn't they make that case? Why wouldn't it be extremely damaging for him just to be in for the Justice Department just to open that investigation and harass him and vex him with costly litigation, which this bill would now create? And of course, they could do this to others. I mean, Trump owns Truth Social. On virtually a daily basis, he is accused of being an agent of Vladimir Putin. That makes him subject to the direction of a foreign adversary. So why can't they force him to divest ownership of Truth Social? And if you won't do that, well, let us ban it.
He's exactly right. I mean that you can't get better than that. It's like I said, it was a longer clip, but it's very succinct, and he's exactly right. And he's the co-founder of PayPal, and he's a brilliant guy, and he's 100% correct. And we on our side of the political aisle have to understand this, and that is their ultimate goal: control of information and then shutting down anybody who disagrees. That's their ultimate goal. Gentlemen, the game is not going our way here in the bottom of the ninth.
No,
not at all. It's not looking good right now.
That's an understatement.
It is a 9-2. We haven't had any more bell ringing since the, second inning or something?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of people who are clearing out of Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah. Good thing you paid, $150, $200 beat traffic early. Come on.
Yeah. Well, in the 6 o'clock hour, we got some great guests coming up, including Jennifer Stefano and Daniel Turner. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for our fourth and final hour. But this is kind of a bummer, huh?
I mean, yeah. Bullpen just imploded, and then at the plate, everyone's...
Is that what happened? Is it the bullpen?
Yeah. Well, so a lot of people are pointing to this graphic that MLB put out, ranking the top bullpens in the MLB to start the year, and the Phillies came in at number one. And everyone just assumed, immediately, that's going to be a jinx. And today, it absolutely was. I mean, it's terrible.
What does this mean for us going forward? I mean, we always start out. I feel like we always stink though at the beginning of every season,
yeah,
don't we?
That's kind of been their MO these last two seasons. Start out slow. Schwarber's a big slow starter. He doesn't get going until June. But if you're going to contend with the Braves for the NL East, you cannot do this. You cannot let a game like this go. It's a dangerous lineup. You can't be giving up walks because they're going to make you pay, and that's exactly what happened today.
Philly Talk said, my wife watching the Phillies game go from 2-2 to 9-2 for the Braves said, I've never even got over last year yet. She suffers from PTSD, Phillies traumatic season disorder.
Yeah.
Judging by the number of fans headed for the exits in the eighth inning, it's common. The stampede is a statement. That's our social media check-in brought to you by our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. Thank you, Cherry Hill Volvo, for that. Sid says, every time you're on at the same time as the Phillies, we lose. I don't believe that's true.
We've won some games.
Yeah, and I remember ringing the bell and yelling and commenting like it's going, it's almost. I remember those days like it was yesterday. So
yeah, long season ahead. Still got 161 more games. So hopefully we take some better at bats and the bullpen calms down a little bit.
Yeah, well. I'd say at this point, if you're at the game, just stay at the game because you're not your window to beat the traffic is closed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you might as well just wait it out.
They're causing their own traffic out there now anyway.
Yeah, you just might as well wait it out. Go grab I guess you can't have a beer anymore, right?
Because
sales
are cut off.
Yeah, that's a shame. Oh, well, that's a bummer. Anyway, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? What? What?
On the bright side, they're doing so terrible. We definitely have more listeners now than we had earlier in the show.
It's true. I know. I mean, it's a good point.
You better bring your best stuff in the 6 o'clock hour.
Oh, it's going to be a big hour. It's don't you worry. I've been getting warmed up the last 3 hours. So saving the best for last.
So was the Phillies bullpen.
Yeah, right. Man. Oh, yeah. This is, let me play this clip for you. I got a couple clips here, Matt. So we got this one woman here. This is Simon Atiba put out this tweet. This is the FBI visiting Camfor, Texas, in their house over a tweet. How's this audio, Matt?
It's good.
Okay, take a listen.
I'm Special Agent John Gray with the FBI. Who are you? Is Miss Anderson here?
She's not.
Okay. Okay. I was hoping to see if I could have a couple of minutes of her time.
She's not here.
Okay.
And she's at work.
Okay. Is there a chance I can make an arrangement to come back and talk to her? Or
what's it about?
It's about the Baton Rouge subject.
Over a tweet she sent out, the FBI visited her house. Joel Fisher tweeted this out. What's this one about, Matt? Do you know?
Yeah, so this is the FBI visiting an American Muslim woman. I guess they want to question her about some pro-Palestine social media posts.
Oh, this is the Reason.com story. Okay, yeah. This is what that was about. All right, so the FBI, this is based on what she wrote on Facebook, the FBI showing up at her house.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
It's from Oklahoma, I believe.
Okay, that's correct. What we'd like to do is just have a conversation with you about some social media posts that you've made. Would you be willing to talk to us today about that?
No, I would not. I would like you to later talk on with my lawyer.
Okay.
Do you have identification?
Do you have a card or something?
Cards?
Attorney that we can reach
no.
out to?
No. No. I'll get back to you.
Okay. All right.
You'd like to have your attorney contact the FBI office in Oklahoma City.
What's the number? What are the names of the agents?
I'll Google it for you.
So you're refusing to identify yourselves?
No, we've already identified ourselves.
Again, I did not take a look.
Matt, just describe the visual for us. These guys are not in uniform, right?
I could not tell whether or not that. Yeah, it looked like. Hold on, let me pull it up again.
I mean, as I'm watching this right now, these guys are standing there. They're saying that they're FBI agents. They're wearing sunglasses, but they're not like in the tactical gear or anything like this. And so, all right, we'll keep.
In the video, they claim that they did identify themselves, but again, the actual identification was not included anywhere in the video. I trimmed the first like 40 seconds of it or so, which was basically just an argument as to whether or not they ever properly identified themselves. They claim they did. She claims they didn't.
Well, then they should identify themselves again.
Yeah. What's
the problem with that?
That's what I didn't understand.
Yeah. So identify yourself again to me. And we're not doing that.
But here's a little
this
more.
This is the FBI just showing up. Yeah, go ahead.
70.
Okay.
If you can just call and give me the name, then we'll be able to.
Exactly. So it's kind of weird that you want to come talk to me about me exercising my freedom of speech.
We do this every day, all day long, talk to people.
Okay.
Really, it's just an effort to keep everybody safe, make sure that nobody has any ill will or bad intent or anything like that. And we've got no reason to believe necessarily that that's you, and that's why we just wanted to have a conversation.
So do you have a conversation with everybody on the neighborhood?
Do you have information with anybody else in the neighborhood?
I mean, all I've done is exercise my right as an American citizen on a public social media platform with my personal opinions.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay.
Well, I don't know. That's
most of the individuals, right, in America, especially older generation, right, have Facebook. Are you questioning all the citizens in America?
We certainly would if we had any sort of concerns.
Okay, so you have concerns about my personal opinions?
If you don't want to talk to us, then you can.
I'm definitely not going to have a talk with you.
This is Joe Biden's America. This is the Department of Justice. Tweets and Facebook posts, they're watching you. They're watching you. And you want to give them more power to regulate it. Okay. Big 6 o'clock hour coming up on this Good Friday opening day. Not so great, but still happy that baseball's here. Listen, if you've been by Cherry Hill Volvo recently, you may have noticed the dealership renovation. You certainly noticed the road construction. Once you get past that, you'll find the dealership is still as comfortable and welcoming as ever, even in trailers. I can tell you firsthand because recently I picked up my new XC60. I love this car. It's beautiful, and it was a great experience. It's amazing. Look, business is great at Cherry Hill Volvo. Despite the renovation and the road construction, it's easy to get into the dealership. Don't let it dissuade you, because there have it's never been a better time to get there. The sales are amazing, and they will work to get you every single incentive they can. Aggressive incentives. That's what they're all about. For example, they've extended their special lease on an XC40, $459 a month. $459 a month for a beautiful SUV, top of the line, all the technology, the bells and whistles, luxury. Or the XC90, the third row Volvo that Bridget drives, you'll get the kids down on the shore, safe and sound, $629 a month. Interest rates as low as 4%. They have incredible inventory. And along with Volvo-sponsored incentives, Cherry Hill Volvo offers are incredibly aggressive. So please, see the dealership for details. Cherry Hill Volvo's right across the bridge. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you and making sure that they find you the absolute best pricing. So take advantage of the renovation. Take advantage of the road construction and go save some money at Cherry Hill Volvo. They stand by us. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios, and they prove it every single day. At Cherry Hill Volvo, relationships matter.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the Free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.